Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of Maruti Suzuki India Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pranav Ambaprasad. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aman. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon once again. May I introduce you to the management team from Maruti Suzuki. Today, we have with us our CFO, Mr. Ajay Seth. From corporate, we have Executive Director, Corporate Planning and Government Affairs, Mr. Rahul Bharti. General Manager, Corporate Strategy and Investor Relations, Mr. Nikhil Vyas. From finance, we have Executive Director, Mr. Pradeep Garg, Executive Vice President, Mr. Sanjay Mathur, and Vice President, Mr. Dinesh Gandhi. The con call will begin with a brief statement on the performance and outlook of our business by Mr. Seth, after which we'll be happy to receive your questions. May I remind you of the safe harbor? We may be making some forward-looking statements that have to be understood in conjunction with the uncertainty and the risks that the company faces. I also like to inform you that the call is being recorded, and the audio recording and the transcript will be available at our website. May please note that in case of any inadvertent error during this live audio call, a transcript will be provided with the corrected information. I would now like to invite our CFO, Mr. Seth. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Pranav. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you and your families are healthy and safe. Let me start with some business highlights. Since long, our investors, analysts, and well-wishers were eagerly awaiting for our action on new product launches, especially in the SUV space. We are happy to inform that we have started launching one product after the other. We have broken all earlier barriers by offering products with new age features and cutting-edge technologies. We thank all our investors and analysts for keeping their trust in us, and I am sure you would be happy to see our comeback with products which are proving to be blockbusters from day one. The all-new Brezza, India's most loved compact SUV, helped in strengthening our SUV offerings with around 70,000 bookings in a short span of time. Customer response for all-new Brezza is overwhelming. Introduction of technologically advanced features such as electric sunroof, heads-up display, telematics, 360-degree camera, ESP, Hill Hold Assist, among others, is helping in improving customer convenience and safety in these products. The company, with its new generation, highly efficient K-series engines and electrification technologies, is working towards lowering the CO2 emission for its fleet. These new products come with improved energy efficiencies that can help in both lowering the CO2 emissions as well as lowering the running cost. Relevance of fuel efficiency improvement is more pronounced during the ongoing period of elevated fuel prices. One of our most spectacular model, Grand Vitara, is a new SUV model conceptualized, designed, and developed by Suzuki and will be produced at Toyota Kirloskar Motor Private Limited. In addition to sales in India, the model is also planned to be exported to markets outside India. It has multiple variants with different powertrain options, such as the Suzuki All-Grip Select with off-roading technology, the intelligent electric hybrid powertrain, which delivers almost 28 km per liter, and the smart hybrid powertrain version. Going forward, the company will strive to further strengthen its SUV portfolio to dominate the SUV segment, just like all other segments. During the quarter, the company finalized a land site for new manufacturing plant in Haryana, an 800-acre site at IMT Kharkhoda. The first plant, with a manufacturing capacity of 250,000 vehicles per annum, is expected to be commissioned within the year 2025. In the first phase, the investment would be over INR 11,000 crores. The site will have space for capacity expansion to include more manufacturing plants in the future. Coming to export markets, thanks to our parent company, Suzuki Motor Corporation Japan, we have been able to leverage their vast global distribution network to significantly enhance our exports. With this, we recorded our highest ever quarterly exports of 69,437 vehicles in quarter one of this financial year. Reinforcing its commitment to maximize the use of renewable energy in operations, the company has set up a 20-megawatt solar power plant at its Manesar facility. Coming to the business environment, the electronic component shortages are still limiting our production volumes. In this quarter, the company could not produce 51,000 vehicles. Limited visibility on availability of electronic components is a challenge in planning our productions. Our supply chain, engineering, production, and sales teams are working towards maximizing the production volume from available semiconductors. The supply situation of electronic components continues to remain unpredictable. Input cost pressure, led by the increase in commodity prices, was another challenge for the company. The company has always strived to provide mobility to masses and continue to work on focused cost reduction efforts to limit the impact of commodity inflation on selling prices. Coming to financial results, performance in quarter one of financial year 2021-22 was affected by COVID-related shutdown and disruptions. Hence, a comparison of Q1 of last year with this year is not on a like-to-like basis. The company sold a total of 467,931 vehicles during the quarter. Sales in the domestic market stood at 398,494 units. Exports were at 69,437 units, the highest ever in any quarter. In the same period previous year, the company sold a total of 353,614 units, including sales of 308,095 units in domestic market and 45,519 units in export market. During the quarter, the company registered net sales of 252,863 million, as against 167,970 million in quarter one of previous year. The operating profit in quarter one of this year stood at 12,607 million. During the same period previous year, the operating profit was 779 million. The net profit for the quarter stood at 10,128 million against 4,408 million in quarter one of previous year. We are now ready to take your questions, feedback, and any other observations that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Kapil Singh from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. Firstly, I wanted to check on the cost side, how much cost inflation did we see in 1Q FY23, and how much of it we were able to pass on? And also, looking into the second quarter, how much drop in raw material to sales are we looking at, given the drop in commodities that we are seeing? And if you could add some perspective there as well in terms of metals and other elements like energy costs, conversion costs, etc.
Okay, Kapil, the cost inflation on commodities comes with a quarter lag. So this quarter was affected because the effective prices were for the fourth quarter of last year, which had to be indexed and increases to be given to the vendors. we had an impact of on commodities all across, including steel and precious metals. The impact was to the extent of about a little less than 2%, and we were able to partially offset this impact with the price increase that we did, and there was also some incremental impact of the sales promotion cost being higher compared to sequentially compared to fourth quarter in this quarter. So effectively, that broadly is the reason for the drop in operating margins that you see between, sequentially between quarter four and quarter one. Moving forward, we are hopeful of commodity prices cooling. It is difficult to give any fixed guidance at this point in time because you know these situations vary. But we have more clarity on quarter two because quarter two rates are fixed to quarter one. We definitely see prices across all commodities, including steel and other metals, being much lower than what they were in quarter one of this year, as you've seen in the results.
Okay, thanks, sir. And secondly, just wanted to check on the order book. If you could give the latest order book update and how much was the net order inflow for the quarter. And also, there were some news reports regarding order inflows for Grand Vitara. So if you can share an update there, that what kind of order inflow we have seen for that and how is the response to hybrid variants within that.
So Kapil,
also the retail sales for the quarter.
So retail sales are broadly in line with wholesales, slightly short. On the order book, the pending orders as of now are about 3.5 lakhs. And a large, a good number has come from new models. As Sheikh Khan mentioned in his opening remarks, we've got an excellent response to the Grand Vitara with about 70,000 bookings. And a, sorry, the Brezza. And a good number of these bookings are for the top variant. And in what was your other question?
For Grand Vitara also, if you could share in terms of you know, how are the bookings and how the response to the hybrid variant within those mix of bookings you're getting.
Okay. Grand Vitara, we have a good order of about 20,000 or so. And for the Brezza, the all-new Brezza, we have about 70,000. In the Grand Vitara, the strong hybrid, which we have described aptly as intelligent electric hybrid, that has got between 45% to 50% of the bookings. So that's a very positive sign. And we just hope that we'll be able to service these orders fast.
Okay, thank you. Rahul-san, I also wanted to check, you know, we had S-Cross in the portfolio earlier, which was a fairly strong model, but it did not live up to expectations in terms of volumes. So any learnings that are there from there, which we are employing now as we are ramping up the SUV portfolio?
See, the S-Cross was a crossover. It was a new concept. So it was between a sedan and an SUV. And but if we are to see anything from the Grand Vitara based on the experts and the journalists, the auto experts at the launch, almost unanimously there has been a very strong positive reaction on it. I am yet to hear a single remark about any lacuna or weakness in the model. In terms of technologies, it is very strong. Almost everything that we can think of is there. There's a giant panoramic sunroof, all features like heads-up display, ESP, hill hold assist, 360-degree camera, and it has a muscular stance, large body, large, I mean, all dimensions, length, width, height, all the dimensions are good. The power is, there are two versions, the all-grip technology, which is all-wheel drive, four-wheel drive, and there is a strong hybrid version, which has very high fuel efficiency, 27.97 kilometers per liter. So everything points towards a very strong pull from the market.
Thank you. Wish you all the best for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question from Gunjan Prithyani from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my questions. Just two questions. Firstly, the extension on the margin. You mentioned about 200 basis point impact of commodity. Against that, we had offsets available from price hike, which is, you know, almost 1.3%, which we had announced, and then we had yen depreciation, which benefited as well. So, you know, in that context, just the 1% decline that is there in the gross margin seems a bit steep. So if you could just give us more color, you know, maybe help us quantify, you know, what were the promotional spends, or did we really see any yen depreciation benefit in this quarter? You know, some quantifying around that will help us.
So as I mentioned earlier, that there was this commodity impact, which was partially offset by selling price increase, and sales promotion cost was virtually higher from Q4 to Q1. So the net impact between the selling price increase and the material cost was still about 1.2%, as you see in the numbers. Besides that, there was an impact of there was an increase in the employee cost. Because usually in the first quarter, you will always see that there is regular impact of salary increases, etc., that are built in, retirement benefit and salary increases, which are built in, which was about 0.6%. So these are two major factors for the movement of operating profit between quarter four of last year and quarter one of this year.
Anything to quantify on yen depreciation? Was there any meaningful benefit in this quarter?
There was a benefit, not very big, because the benefit comes with a quarter lag. As I mentioned to you, that the indirect imports are the larger piece. Direct is a much smaller piece. The rates of quarter four would have applied in quarter one. But we will see a much larger impact as we move forward, because now we will have the full benefit of the current exchange rates in the coming quarters.
Okay, so that yen benefit will flow through in second quarter. Okay, got it. The second question was on the Grand Vitara again. Now, you know, clearly it's good to see that response to the strong hybrid. You know, just trying to get your thought process, you know, there is about 45-50% diesel share in this category. So how are we, you know, thinking about competing with this, with the diesel portfolio there, given, you know, hybrid still suffers from higher taxation? So, you know, maybe, you know, some thoughts how we are positioning to compete with the diesel share within that mid-size UV segment.
The hybrid taxation is a shade lower than the diesel taxation in that segment. So to that extent, it is not a disadvantage. Secondly, customers are yet to see a very powerful product in efficient gasoline in that segment. I may also remind you that in the entry SUV segment, the diesel to gasoline ratio used to be 80-20 a few years ago. After the entry of Brezza, it reversed from 80-20 to 20-80. And now even that 20% diesel has now become 18.3% diesel. So if customers get a good product, they lap it up.
Okay, got it. And can you share the discounts for the quarter? This is the last one from me.
Discounts this quarter were at 12,750. And quarter four was lower at 11,130.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from Raghunandan NL from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Couple of questions. Firstly, on Grand Vitara, what are your thoughts on the acceptable pricing gap between that of a mild hybrid and strong hybrid? Trying to understand, you know, at what kind of price gap, you know, customers will accept a strong hybrid as a substitute to diesel.
So the pricing is still not decided, and of course we, like yourself, we also have this curiosity and we are studying the market, and we will at an appropriate time before sales, we will announce the pricing also. On a larger view, if India has to decarbonize, there's a major advantage with strong hybrids because they do a good fraction of the job of an EV and are many times more scalable. So we can attack decarbonization in a large way. It becomes scalable if we employ such technologies. I think it's a matter of time. Customers will see the benefit and be willing to pay more for it.
Thank you, sir. Ajay-san, if you can talk about what would be the current yen exposure, would my understanding be correct that yen payables would be high single digit share as a percentage of revenue?
Yen exposure has significantly come down compared to earlier years because the yen exposure is only in case of the component imports that we have from overseas, and royalty is now, as you know, is all paid in rupees and not in not exposed to currency risk. So our total exposure for direct import, our total exposure is close to about 3% of our net sales, which is significantly small compared to what it used to be earlier.
And indirect exposure, sir?
Indirect exposure would be slightly large. That will be in the vicinity of about, just give me a minute. So that will be close to about close to about 85 billion yen.
Got it, sir. And just a clarification on what you said on the royalty side. I mean, the earlier commentary I remember was 50-50 share of rupee and yen royalty. How is it currently, sir?
No. Now we have totally, we have attained total rupee exposure, the new formula totally.
Thank you, sir. Just a last question. On the other income side, there was the impact of the MTM losses. I mean, just trying to understand if we have to look at future quarters, broadly, what could be the run rate?
No, so the mark-to-market impact came this quarter because of a steep increase in the interest rates, and we had to some extent corrected ourselves by taking a lower tenure papers. But we still were hit because the interest rate increase was almost 150 basis points and that impacted the yields. We are hopeful moving, but markets have already corrected to a large extent and built in the increases that are expected. If there is no surprise other than this, then we should see a steady income during the remaining period. But yes, if there is any surprise from a bank by further increasing the rate than what is being expected of the market, then there could possibly be some more mark-to-market impact. At this point in time, we don't think that there should be any surprise by the central bank.
Thank you, sir. Very helpful. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Next question is from Pramod Kumar from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the opportunity, sir. My first question pertains to the CNG and the hybrid tech side. So if you can just help us understand how is the demand for CNG models evolved over the last few weeks, or actually let's say 2 months, because CNG prices have moved quite sharply and have price gap between petrol and CNG has narrowed as well. So if you can just help us understand, is the way you look at the booking run rate or the booking velocity for CNG, has there been any let up at all from the customer side?
CNG is currently 20% of our sales, and we are looking at it as a larger decarbonization journey. And these short-term, you see, this situation has arisen from the war. So these short-term phenomena I mean, will be will not matter in the long term. So we have products, we have a we have products in the pipeline also. So in the long term, this should not matter.
Okay. No, the reason why I was asking that, Rahul-san, was that the customers, in terms of behavior, are far more sensitive towards OPEX. And as the OPEX benefit of CNG kind of reduces, I'm just curious to understand, is there any change in the booking pattern? That's about it. I'm just going back to the previous episode of diesel versus gasoline between FY11-13, and in a way extending that to the hybrid bit. Wanted to understand, given the fuel economy delta, is it what is kind of driving a lot of customers to prefer the strong hybrid technology? Given the initial booking numbers, what you're talking about, I was just trying to get the sensitivity around the OPEX bit.
Okay, so interestingly, a good percentage of the bookings have come in the strong hybrid category, almost 45% plus. Kind of bookings, and I think it is not just OPEX. Customers are warming up to a new. I mean, they are attracted to a new technology, and they want to embrace it fast. And there is some sensitivity about lower carbon emissions also. So this is very positive. And along the way, when customers actually see the car, and in the display, it clearly explains how the battery plus motor combination is providing the power to the wheel, or the engine is providing power to the wheel. So the more they use it, the more we believe there would be traction in this segment. OPEX, of course, does matter, but I think over the long term, we will also strive to deliver better on both OPEX and CAPEX for the customers.
And Rahul-san, extending that hybrid bit, is it fair to assume that Grand Vitara is just the start of the kind of taking strong hybrid to the masses, and one should expect more of this technology even on the existing models and not necessarily restricted only to new launches, the premium category?
We would, depending upon market response, we would like to maximize this to the extent possible.
Okay, fair enough. And final question on the Haryana CapEx. Just curious, given that for the last several years now, Suzuki has been doing the heavy lift on CapEx or new incremental capacity. So just want to understand the reason or the thought process for doing the Haryana CapEx on our books. Or was there no discussion with Suzuki or offer from Suzuki to do the CapEx on that count as well on their books? Just want to understand the thought process there.
Pramod, the way we think about running our operations is slightly different from what the narrative goes on. Books is a very virtual description. We work in the real world where we have to operate factories, we have to look at operations, logistics, what suits us in terms of real factories, real dispatches, etc. So it made all sense to do it in Haryana, so we did it in Haryana.
No, Rahul-san, the question was, why is CapEx being incurred by Maruti and not by Suzuki?
Exactly, Suzuki, that is what I'm answering. Our considerations are real. In the real world, they are more about running factories with good operational efficiencies, with logistics, with proximity to our current manufacturing ecosystem, including the supply chain. It is not so much about, you know, placing it in one company's books or the other companies. So Haryana suited us. That's in the overall scheme of things. That's why we decided to locate it in Haryana. And if it is in Haryana, it has to be on Maruti's books.
Oh, okay, that's the understanding, is it? Okay, sorry, I wasn't aware about that. And sorry for this, but there are some concerns around exports to Africa in the two-wheeler category because of demand weakness in Africa and particularly Africa and other EMs because of the high inflation and all of that. So how should one look at your export outlook for, say, fiscal 23 or the remainder of this fiscal and even longer term, given the kind of growth what we've had over the last 2 years? So should one expect double-digit growth on the export front to continue?
Okay. See, as you have seen, we had a significant jump in exports in the recent past. Last year, we almost doubled our exports, although on a low base. This year also, the momentum is fortunately quite strong. This kind of uncertainty of one market or one country having some kind of economic cycle always exists in exports. The only strategy is that you have to spread yourself across more such markets and gain from more. As of now, we are bullish on our exports, and it's going quite well. The distribution network of our parent is helping us. So far, fortunately, there is no such signal of inflation or any economic cycle affecting it.
Thanks a lot, and best of luck. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Pramod Amthe from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Two questions again with regard to Grand Vitara. So one, wanted to know how are you looking at the segment opportunity in terms of the way you have priced it, the product and the offering which you have on table, including the fuel efficiency. What's the market size there? Do you plan to expand it exponentially with the new offerings which you have? Can you give some color on it?
I missed the first part of your sentence.
No, I was saying the way you have positioned Grand Vitara, what's the market size opportunity is available for that model based on your price points and also the variants which you have positioned?
Okay. See, today, the SUV segment is about 40% of the market. And the middle, if we divide it into three parts, compact SUV, middle SUV, and premium SUV, the middle SUV segment is almost 50%. It's more than 50% actually of that segment. So plus another phenomena is that if there is a good product, the segment also expands. They say supply creates its own demand. So we think it's a very powerful product, and this is just our second product in the SUV space. We have a further pipeline of products overall in the overall market, and we would like to maximize. In terms of pricing, I think the features and the styling, the technologies employed are cutting edge. So we think we have we will get a commensurate price for that.
And how do you look at the fuel options there, petrol versus diesel split up, and have been able to attract some of the diesel customers to you because you are providing hybrid options?
So this is an expectation. The earlier precedent is that in the entry SUV segment, as I had mentioned earlier, there was 80% diesel, 20% petrol a few years ago. When the Brezza entered, it just reversed from 80-20 to 20-80. So if customers see a good product, we expect the same in this segment also, something similar. Diesel also has other disadvantages. I mean, there's a whole, the regulatory part is quite difficult, and still it is perceived as an unclean fuel. So we expect customers to have a good pull for strong hybrid gasoline along with all its advantages.
Sure. And the last question related to the way the revenue and expenses recognition for this product. Will it be directly a Toyota plant selling to Maruti Suzuki, or it will go to Suzuki Gujarat and then it will then be accounted into Suzuki as sales and expenses?
It has nothing to do with SMG. It is with Maruti. So it will, Maruti Suzuki will be selling it to its dealers.
Okay, sure.
And exporting to many countries of the world.
Okay. So is it fair to know that the treatment will be similar to the Gujarat plant, the sourcing you do in terms of expenses and sales, or will there be any key differentiator the way the accounting is done? Just curious to me. In case if there are any
unique, one thing unique about the SMG contract manufacturing arrangement is that SMG is an exclusive contract manufacturer for Maruti Suzuki. They cannot supply to anybody else, whether in India or abroad. And they will supply to us at cost, no profit.
Okay.
This is a unique arrangement. This may not be replicable across other models.
Sure. Thanks, Rahul. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. A couple of questions from my side. First is, can you share the export revenues for the quarter and the March quarter as well?
3,640 crores.
Okay. This is for the current quarter. Would we be having
Q1 of this year?
Right. And would we be having for the fourth quarter of last year?
3,511.
Right. Okay. Got it. Secondly, with respect to when we mentioned about JPY benefit in this quarter, it would be hardly anything, right? Because of the lag effect, and the large benefit will come only in 2Q.
Yeah, that's correct. So it's not very significant. The bulk of the impact, as I mentioned, will come in subsequent quarters.
Got it. And with respect to Brezza's 70,000 bookings, Rahul San mentioned about the top variant getting the maximum bookings. Is that understanding right, or I misunderstood that?
Yes, that is right. The top two variants, the ZXI Plus and ZXI, they contribute more than 50% of the total bookings.
Wow, okay. And this is despite the pricing of those products. Right.
Sorry?
That's very good. I mean, despite prices have increased materially because of the features which you're offering, so that is what is attracting customers.
Right.
That's really happening to see. And lastly, a couple of data points on Gujarat production and royalty for the quarter.
So, royalty for the quarter continues to be at the same level of 3.7%. 3.7%, right? And as we have already mentioned, that all these models have now moved to a rupee-based formula, so royalty is pretty much fixed. So there's no impact that we have now on any exchange risk that we were carrying. So that's on the royalty. And what was the other question that you asked?
Gujarat production. SMG production.
About 31% of the volume in the quarter.
So 31% of the volume that you see is produced by Gujarat.
Yeah, SMG.
Got it. Okay, great. Sir. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from Binay Singh from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Thanks for the opportunity. Two questions. Firstly, when we look at the ASPs of the business, you know, with the Brezza top-end variant selling and the Grand Vitara coming in, clearly the business is going in a very different...
Binay, could you be louder, please?
Yeah. Actually, the first question is, when we look at the business, Maruti seems to be at a very interesting point that, you know, your Brezza top-end variant has strong bookings, and even in Grand Vitara, you have a sizable hybrid order book. So my question is on the hybrid side, how to think of profitability for that segment for Maruti? It's very clear that the ASP jump will be quite sizable that the business will see. But how to think of profitability, because it's a Toyota technology, Toyota is manufacturing the car. So how to think of EBIT per car or margins, any indication you could give?
Binay, we have to see it in a larger light and a slightly longer term way. If a technology succeeds and picks up volumes, then automatically economies of scale will pick up and the customers will be willing to, you know, pay more for it. So any new technology, whenever we have launched, we have kept a larger purpose in mind. And along with that, we localize, we do cost reduction, we do innovations and improvisations, and we achieve our desired margins. So we, at the moment, we are far more, focused and concerned about the growth of this technology in India. and the benefits that it will bring. And along the way, we'll find a, I mean, it will obviously, if the volumes pick up, it will be healthy on bottom lines also.
I'm just linked to that, Rahul. What percentage of Vitara portfolio would you aspire to come from strong hybrid? Just directionally trying to understand that how big of an opportunity is Maruti looking at this powertrain as, because your peers don't have this, right? So it's a great decarbonization technology which Maruti is sort of starting the journey with.
What's the precise question?
Like, what percentage of Grand Vitara would you sort of aspire that, you know, could come from hybrid? What would be like a target percentage of hybrid?
As of now, the bookings are about 45%.
And that, is that above your expectations or that's broadly in line with what you are targeting for?
The potential is good, but yes, it we are happy to see this response.
Great. And the second question is on the sales promotion expense. Mr. Seth mentioned that they went up during the quarter, and that was a hit to margins. Could you talk a little bit about what parts of the portfolio saw those increases? Now, when we look at the coming quarter, it's a, we will see. The launch costs will also come in. So do we directionally see them further rising from here on as a percentage of sales?
So there are two different parts. Sales promotion really are the discounts that we offer, and discounts will keep varying depending on the type of mix that you are selling and also depending on demand and supply at any given point in time for each of the categories or models that you are selling. So there will be some, although overall discounts are much lower than what they used to be typically a couple of years ago, and we've seen a significant fall, but yes, quarter four was, I think, 11,000 or thereabouts, and this quarter, the average discount has gone up by 1,500, and I mentioned it, the reasons are largely to do with either the mix or situation of a particular market or particular territory where you have to offer some schemes. The second question that you asked about launches, etc., that is more of marketing cost. And marketing cost obviously will depend on what promotions you are doing and what launches you are doing at a given point in time. Last year, typically, we had virtually very negligible activity on marketing side. So we had mentioned also in our earlier calls that the marketing cost obviously will go up this year because of various launches and other promotions. The physical conferences that we were not having earlier, we've started having now. So all that will count towards marketing expenses. So there will be some increase, but hopefully if overall volumes go up, then you will get that operating leverage also, which was not available last year.
Oh, okay, sir. Thanks for that.
Thank you. Take the next question from Ashish Chen from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Sir, my first question was on the six airbag norms, which is now pretty much, seems it's effective from 1st of October. So can you speak a bit about what is the cost implication, and also, if we go by media articles and all, Maruti will have to do a lot more, designing and all, especially on the entry level of the car. So any update on that will be very helpful.
It's a draft notification, and we believe the government is also studying, and the auto industry body, SIAM, is in discussion with the government. It has many facets. The overall safety, factors of safety involved, the cost, affordability, etc., the semiconductor feasibility, etc. So we are in discussion with the government, and the moment we have some concrete idea, we'll let you know.
And sir, second question was, going ahead, can you speak a bit about what is the lagged impact of, both commodity and price hikes, that could come through in Q2, based upon how the way commodities are trending today?
So commodities, we mentioned that commodities definitely looks to be going down from these levels. And then we have more certainty for quarter two because they come with a quarter lag. So we know quarter one situation. So we see downward trend in commodities. In future also, we believe commodities should not go up from these levels. But again, it is very uncertain to say how much will they go down by, or if there is any geopolitical situation or anything, any sudden shortage, then we'll have to see. But overall direction of commodities seems to be going down. Quantum, difficult to explain at this point in time. It will depend on how the markets behave at a given point in time.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. And with this, we conclude today's conference call. On behalf of Maruti Suzuki India Limited, we thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.